Fine. So, if you remember yesterday, we had left off with again, Reb Shimon had said that balsam doesn't have shviat, it doesn't have kedushat shviat because it's not a fruit. And the Gemara had suggested that this machloket or this shita lines up with the machloket in Arla as to whether curdling cheese with the sap of Arla makes it asur or not. Reb Yeshua had said that it's mutter. That the cheese is mutter. If you use the sap, but not if you use pagan. So the Gemara tries to line that up with our Mishnah, namely with Reb Shimon, that resin doesn't have kedusha shviya, just like sap doesn't. Right? And then the Gemara had said, no, right? These are different. How do you know? Because the Gemara had said, well, how do you paskin? Like Rabbi Shimon, and here you paskin like Rabbi Yeshua, meaning you're lenient in one context and strict in the other, which implies that they are different, right? So the Gemara had said, right, so simply with the fact that they paskin differently, you show that they are different. So the Gemara said, well, how are they different? So possibly one that we saw yesterday was that simply not all sap is the same. Balsam is significant, and other saps are not. So the Mishnah in Arla is talking about other saps. They're not significant, and therefore they don't create an isser in the cheese. Balsam is significant, and therefore it does have kedushat shviat and is treated as a fruit. That was the first distinction we saw yesterday. The second distinction, where it says, is ochle behema kedushat shviat chalalehen, ve'ein kedushat arla chalalehen. He says, no, maybe balsam is considered an animal food. And by shviat, as we've already said, kedusha shviat can take effect on both animal food and, an animal food and a human food. And therefore, the balsam oil is going to be kadosh b'kedushat shviat. However, when it comes to arla, it says, v'araltam arlato et pirio, and we say that it's only human fruit. And therefore, it's a different standard. So it could be subject to kedushat shviat and not subject to arla. And now the Gemara says so we have ended up with two distinctions. That one is that there are different saps. Some saps are edible, some are not. Possibility one. And the second is not different between saps, but difference between shviat and arla, where arla requires it to be a fruit, shviat requires it to be edible by animals or humans. And those are different standards. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Avin, itlach chore. There are yet another factor which distinguishes Rabbi Shimon from Rabbi Yeshua. And that is that Rabbi Yeshua Amra Shmua. Rabbi Yeshua had said his halacha that wood sap is not considered fruit by Arla. Shimon b'shem garme Amar. Whereas the halacha he said by balsam sap, he said in his own shita. Meaning, if Rabbi Shimon had been based in Rabbi Yeshua, he would have quoted it, right? And that is, hence, that these must be different machlokot. Great. So now, once we're talking about Arla, the Gemara wants to clarify why it is that the sap of unripe figs is usur, right? Because it said the sap is not, but if you take it from the pagan, so then it is subject to Arla. So, lama or masraf peri, what exactly are we talking about? Sraf peri, do we really mean the sap of the unripe figs that's already a fruit and therefore subject to Arla, or pagan peri? Or do we mean not the sap of the fruit, but the fruit itself? Right, these unripe fruit themselves are subject to Kedusha, to Arla. So in Tamar, sraf peri, if what you're talking about is just the sap, asa kein betruma, and now there's different gersot, which is either usher or mutter. So most of the mafarshim assume that it's a gersa change and it should say usher, not mutter, which is the opposite of what it says in our text, which admittedly is a big change. But vein tamer pagan, usher came to truma, usher. Because if you curdle milk with the sap of unripe figs of truma for a non-kohen, so if you say that it's a fruit in its own right, then it will be a truma fruit and therefore it'll be usher non-kohenim. Vein tamer pagan peri, but if you're tailing the pagan, usher came to truma mutter. Then if you would make truma with resin from the unripe truma, then it would be permitted to not go in because it's not a fruit. It wouldn't be truma. Lama, and why should it be more makil then, right? Why is it? Because we already said that by Arla would be problematic, but why does it matter? Right? Why would you assume that the same case would be mutter by truma by us or by Arla? So the Gemara says, "Trinaya truma muteret," because we don't think that this is considered eating. We consider it its benefit, right? Curdling isn't considered eating. It's considered benefit from. Now, by Arla, there's an Isra Hana'a. You can't even benefit from Arla. And therefore, even though you're not eating the rennet, right, you are benefiting from it because now you have cheese that is Arlified, if that's a word, right? But by Truma, you're allowed to get Hana'a. You just can't eat it. So if the sap is not considered a fruit, so then it still might be Asr in Arla because you're getting benefit from the tree, but it won't be Asr in Truma. The Rosh has a different position because he says that benefiting from a product of something prohibited for benefit doesn't constitute benefiting from the product itself. And it goes like this, that Arla is more machmir than Truma because it's Asr b'hana, right? He says this is really the Rabbanan. It's that because Arla is in general Asr b'hana'a, therefore they extended the prohibition to a derivative of Arla to still be Asr. But by Truma, where it isn't Asr b'hana'a, we didn't impose a rabbinic law on it. Okay, and the Gemara leaves it standing. So then the last case in the Mishnah was Yilakeded Averet, that if you had a rose that's subject to beer and you soak it in old oil, then it's not subject to beer. And if you take it out of the right, but if you conserve it for the beer deadline, then the oil is permitted. But if it was soaked in new oil, it's subject to beer, right? So remember that. So what is new? What is old? So one possibility is that new means seventh year oil, and old is sixth year oil. Now the Gemara says why, right? If that's what it is, that's what the Gemara's Havamina is going to be, is that we're talking about. That makes no sense because if the reason it's usher is because it absorbed the rose essence, then it's not about when the oil is from, it's whether or not it's considered to have absorbed the rose essence. So, he said, I don't understand. In one case, the old oil, you just say, well, pull it out, no problem, right? The other one, you say, no, it's chayev in beer. Like, I don't understand, which is it? Now, the Rosh just says that maybe you could have said that the rose absorbs the oil, but the oil doesn't absorb the flavor of the rose. So when the oil has kedusha shviit, it gives its kedusha to the rose and makes it subject to beer, right? Meaning you assume, right, the Rosh says, why don't you go in the other direction? Say that the solution is that it's not the rose that's a problem, it's the oil that's the problem, right? But the Gemara doesn't suggest this at all. And the Mefarshim assume it just doesn't make sense, right? Is that they absorb in both directions, and therefore that just can't be what we're talking about. One possibility is that the first and second half of the Braitot are, in fact, incompatible. They're by different Tanaim. There is no difference between 6th-year oil and 7th-year oil. According to the first Tana, both cases, when they are, right, he assumes they're putter from Biur, and according to the second Tana, they're both putter from Biur. Now, as I said, the more complicated version of the sugya is actually in the 9th parak. When the Gemara quotes it again, that's the pickling case, right? Where, as we saw, the Rilazar says, remember we saw 3 shita. The Rilazar says that if you have 3 vegetables all being pickled together, so Rilazar takes the machmer position, they all become chayiv at the first one. Rabbi Gamliel says that only the species itself that's reached beer is chayiv in beer, and then I think it's Rabbi Shua who says that they're all chayiv at the last one. And the reason is because Rabbi Gamliel says that flavor lacks any substance, right? And or alternatively, as some Mepharshim say, that the taste that's there, because it's just taste, is considered mevuar.
Wait, would he extend this also to basav v'chalav, or no?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Right, but therefore he says that that the first case in our mission of a 7th-year rose soaked in 6th-year oil, you only need to remove it. That's following Rabbi Gamliel, who says that we just ignore the taste in it, and therefore we go by the oil, and that's why. And then the second case, right, is following, that says you do have to get rid of it, right, must be following the more machmer position of Rabbi Elazar, and they're just following different positions. That's one possibility. Amar Rabbi Zeira. But again, so what you see is that the Gemara now is really telling you 2 interpretations of this Gemara, as worked out with the Gemara in the 9th parak, the Mishnah in this parak, and the Mishnah there. One is that the pickling one is completely derivative of this case, or vice versa, right? That they're the same case. Amar Rabbi Zera, no. Yachalan ater pater line varde betray pitre. There's a difference. And the difference comes from understanding the word new and old in different ways. Vered chadesh kavzeh b'shem and yashan. If you have a new rose in old oil, what are we talking about? Vered shel shviat. We're talking about shmita one. She kavzeh b'shem and shel shishet. Then what old means is, in fact, sixth year. And in that case, where the oil is complete, right, just needs to be removed, and the oil is not subject to beer. V'yashan b'chadesh. So yashan b'chadesh, that's vered shviat. She kavzeh b'shem and shel shminit. Right? And there, the oil becomes subject to biur because, now why, right? Why would you say that something that is eighth year oil is subject to biur, where sixth year is not? Right? Why should that make sense? Meaning, shouldn't the only thing that matters be if it's Shemitah oil, so then it's Shemitah oil. If it's not Shemitah oil, then what matters is whether you can imbue the Shemitah status.
In the first case, we're asking about the rose, in the second case, we're talking about
so,
the oil.
Right. Well, no, we're also talking about the, right, but in one case, we say you just need to remove the rose and the oil isn't subject to beer. And the second one, the oil also becomes subject to beer. But why, so right? Why should the sixth and, right, here we're talking about whether the oil is also subject to beer.
Wait, in the first case, isn't that understanding of the rose is sixth year?
So he says no. He thinks that both cases, the rose is seventh year. Right? And it's sixth year oil and eighth year oil. So now the question is, well, why should that make a difference? Right? Meaning either you think that the roses give taste and therefore they're subject to Shemitah, or you don't, right? Like, why is that different? So the Rambam says that, no, it really is about old. It's not about sixth and eighth. I mean, it's not seventh, because if it was seventh, it would be independently subject. But old oil, right? You know, like you have aged... I don't know, scotch, mm-hmm. right? It gets a richer flavor over time. So the Rambam thinks that essentially that's what happens with oil too, that if it's old oil, it has like its own rich taste and it can't easily absorb tastes from other things. And therefore, if you have a year old oil, it won't absorb the taste and therefore it will remain independent. But eighth year oil, which is therefore very young, easily absorbs taste. And that's why, yeah, it isn't a halachic difference in 6 and 8. It's a mitzvah difference. That old oil has its own taste and is more impervious to taking in the vered, right? And therefore, the rose is always going to be chayv and biur, but the oil, if it's 6th year oil and it's old oil, will not absorb taste.
But wait, this is referring to the 8th year oil.
No, this is 6th year oil.
The 6th year is the old and the 8th year is the new?
Yeah, because it's new. It's new. Yeah. Here it's Yashan means the new, yeah. Yashan means, yes. So, and the Rosh says differently. The Rosh says, no, the difference is not just a Metziut thing. The difference is that the new rose of Shviat is soaked in old oil. Then the soaking must have taken place during Shemitah, because that's when the rose can be considered new, right? And that is prior to the time of Biur for roses, which occurs at the end of the seventh year. And since the soaking takes place before the biur deadline, the oil remains exempt from biur even after the deadline, right? Despite having absorbed rose oil. But according to him, therefore, what you're saying is it isn't. Right? According to the Rambam, it's a difference of does it absorb at all. According to the Rosh is no. It is kadosh b'kedushat shviat. Everyone agrees that oil can absorb. It's just a technicality that if you... during Shemitah, soak roses in oil, the oil becomes not subject to biur because you only soaked it after biur. However, in eighth year, you did this whole thing after the biur deadline for roses is passed. So what you're doing is you're taking something that was already subject to biur, and then shoving it into something, right? And then the oil absorbs all the yisurim and all the statuses of the rose, including its chi of biur, right? It's not that it becomes chi of biur independently. It's just that you absorbed it when the status had already been imbued into the roses. Now, this leads to different ways of understanding the next clause of the Mishnah, right? The next clause in the Mishnah says that if you have new carobs soaked in old wine or old carobs soaked in new wine, they are subject to Beor. And this is a contrast between the case of carobs and wine and oil. So according to the Rambam's approach, this makes sense, right? Because the rose does not impart flavor to oil, but carobs have a stronger taste and wine more easily absorbs, and therefore you don't have to try to line it up, right? The carobs are one thing, and wine is one thing, and oil is another thing. But according to the Rosh, that doesn't make sense because it's a halachic claim, right? So what's the difference? So the Rosh says that this final clause is dealing with a situation where you left the carob soaking in wine until after the beer deadline, such that the wine actually absorbed flavor that was indeed chayev in beer. Now, that does seem forced, but there's a Tosefta that supports this. But if old carobs were soaked in new wine, then it is subject to beer, like our Mishnah, and therefore it would come out that both cases are essentially the same. Okay, Hadron Alach Klal Gadol, that's the end of the seventh parak, and tomorrow we'll start the eighth.